Randy Hahn, who could not be on here tonight and is looking at being on a board, he wants to hear this. He brought a foursome with him, and lots of people were excited about Randy Hahn. If you know the Sharks, you know Randy Hahn. Dave Righetti did a commercial for us. Have you guys, most of you are on the 680 corridor, not you, David, and not Jeff in Florida, who's not on here today. But have you seen those commercials with Righetti and Randy Hahn? It's pretty cool.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
Randy Hahn was for the golf event. Blue screen. Jeff Garcia was obviously for the golf event, and Dave Righetti's is not just for the golf event; it's for the charity. And so that's pretty cool that we did those. And Jeff Garcia, although we gave him a free foursome, he brought three other foursomes that paid, and one of which became a gold sponsor.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. That's awesome.
And he just fell in love with what we're doing and said, count me in every year. You guys, this is fantastic. And he has his own issues with depression. You know, all three of those people have family matters, personal matters associated with depression and stress of their kids. All three of them, without getting into the details, because I obviously know all the details. And so for what we're doing resonated. Randy and Dave said to us, because I offered them also golf foursome for doing commercials, both said, no, we're not going to make the charity buy a commercial. I mean, we're not going to make the charity buy a foursome because it's charity money. That's the whole point of helping you, is why use their money. Jeff said he wanted to use that, but he just said, but I'm not going to charge you anything for coming up and going back. No fuel, nothing. We picked up his hotel, but no fuel or tolls or food or anything like that. And then he said, I'll bring more to it. And then, like I said, he brought three foursomes that were fantastic and loved it as well. One of which, somewhere in the back nine, was selling cannabis out of their tent that was back there. And so they made enough money, I guess, to survive and feel really good about life. And if I had known that tent was filled with cannabis, maybe I would have felt better at the end of the day too.
That was actually my foursome. I actually did a lot of purchases. One of my members is a big cannabis CBD guy. So yes. Yeah.
Is that a specific brand?
No, it was a brand.
Anybody like CBD?
Brand? Well, no. Whoever is, you know,
there was a brand. Absolutely was a brand.
Yeah. It is brand. I'll get you the brand if you'd like to have it.
You know, and I have played
golf. Not personally, but you know, as an expansive source of funding.
Yeah, we get it. It's for your best friend.
CBD,
you
yeah.
You know, I have played golf with Trey, and I can tell you that his game will not get worse with cannabis. And so, Trey, go on.
I'm going to go with the CBD because it actually does help my game. But you can go with cannabis because I've seen you play.
And, David, we know that you're looking for things for your friends, so I get that too.
So did he decide to re-up on the commercials and do other commercials?
Well, it would be neat to get more celebrities.
Dave Righetti just started. So Dave Righetti just started. It should have just started, I believe, beginning of July. So it's only been running 30 days, and it's only a third, not even a third. It's 25% of our spins because we take, I think we have about 75% as PFG. And I think and there's only the one Dave Righetti right now. That's about 25%. So we only get an X amount per month. So it would be kind of hard to catch just the one, but it is running right now since July.
Would you guys be okay if we just jump right to Chris's report since he started and talk about marketing efforts? Is that okay?
Sure.
I have a quick question.
Bob, you have a question?
Yeah, Trey, a couple of administrative questions real quick. You said we've got approximately 165,000. Where's the bank account? Who's that with?
It's with U.S. Bank. And it's a non-interest-bearing bank account at U.S. Bank.
And who has signatory over that account?
At the moment, it's just me. Actually, Tammy
does. And it only takes...
Yeah, Tammy does too.
Okay, so perhaps...
does it only take one signature?
It's one signature.
But perhaps that Trey should be added to that.
Yeah, no. Trey and I talked today about adding him.
We talked about this today.
I do need to do some logistics and go to the bank and separate out that account from my other account. So, and I will do that, and we'll get Trey full access to it.
And for checks over a certain dollar amount, we might want to have dual signatures required.
Right.
That's fine.
I agree.
That's fine too. You guys,
Ellie and I talked about that today.
Yeah, I have no problems with that at all. We write, you know, we write maybe outside of the actual event of the gala and the event of the golf, we write maybe 6 checks a year.
So do we, as a board, want to decide what that limit is and pass a motion that we'll get that set up?
Like a motion that you
Bob, what were you thinking? 5,000?
Yeah, I think 5,000 at the 5,000 or less, but you know, I'm fine with 5,000. I just think though that we have to have some fiscal responsibility here as a board. Sure. So
yeah, I agree, and perhaps it's like some fiscal guidelines should present it, and then we can review them as a board and then pass them rather than discuss them as a board.
Say that again, David. What?
So perhaps some fiscal guidelines should be presented as a board. And Judy, maybe you can come up with this, or Mark, I mean, you guys talk about this and present it, and then we accept them as board rather than discussing.
Well, we could come up with a number tonight besides that. I mean, we could get fiscal guidelines.
Well, I think having Judy and Mark and I just figure out what it is, or Judy, Mark, and I, and Elliot, she has to figure out the guidelines just to make it easier. Because I think Judy was working on the overall guidelines of the nonprofit.
Well, I did
anyway,
the bylaws. Right? I started the bylaws. Mark finished them with Ellie and I teaming together. But yes, I think fiscal responsibility stuff is that next step to kind of making this really be transparent, I guess, and people know you know what the rules of the game are.
And if you know, if you're thinking 5,000, Bob, which is fine, I write one $5,000 check a year, and that's the golf. So you probably want to lower that amount.
I would think it should be lower.
To something that's, we don't have to do that tonight, but something more reasonable, maybe it's $3,500 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm fine with doing a motion.
What's the deposit on the
motion? Perhaps
here's
right
a
go ahead.
Here is where, you know, a committee discusses what the functionality is of the treasury, and then comes back to the board with, here's what we have, and then we
recommendations. Yeah.
Does the 501c have a credit card?
It does not, but I need to order a few of those up for, especially for someone like Shayna.
So when the accounting section of the board looks at it, you want to look at the credit card transactions, because that's going to be the majority of the transactions that will happen will be on credit card.
And we,
could, we don't have a credit
we
card.
We don't. And we point. Certainly for things like the gala would be important. We could.
Well, part of the way you deal with credit card is if you think you need to issue somebody like Shanna a credit card, we do this on another charity board I'm on. You only give them a $1,000 credit limit, or $2,000 or whatever. Whatever you're comfortable with.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's more than enough.
Yeah, that's going to help the accounting part of this board figure it out with the credit cards.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's move forward then, and we'll figure this out. Okay. So then
Trey, can you come back with a motion next meeting then, please? A suggestion?
Absolutely. No problem at all.
Thank you.
So I'll work with Elliot and Judy and Mark on that.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Let's move over to Chris. Chris, are you still on? There you are.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, you want to give the marketing report, you know, with all the touches and what's going on?
Yeah.
Emails and all that stuff?
Okay, so let me see here. You see my screen, what I'm going through?
No. You see your face turning.
You see your face in a weird angle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't do that because
okay, I have
three pins.
You guys don't see the screen share?
No. Well, you should be able to screen share from my side.
Just hit the green button.
Okay. If anything, I can read it to you guys. Because I'm trying to share it from my phone. I'm sorry about that. Let me see here. But okay, here it is. So our Facebook at a glance, our reach is up 108%. We reached impression-wise 33,000 impressions from Facebook. We had 463 page likes, which is, for Facebook, that's a really good like number within 30 days. That's a campaign we've been running with a video graphic that we have of a teen walking down the beach. And it basically says, even through the darkest night, there's a brighter day. And it's kind of one of those new feed type repetitive reels that is picking up a lot of traction. And then we also had about 161 pages. Our top two posts last month were our 988 National Suicide release post that basically lets them know about the 988. Plus the post about the thank you for the golf was our another second biggest post. Those were our biggest posts by reach. Our biggest posts by engagement were the 988 National Suicide and the text brighter to 741741. Those were our biggest by engagement. And as far as Instagram is only down a little bit. We still were at 17,000 people. It was down 20%, but Instagram did upgrade their algorithm for the reels now. They actually removed them from a lot of feeds. So that was something that got upgraded last couple of weeks. So it did affect a little bit of the reach on the reels, but we still reached 17,000. So 17,000 reach on Instagram and 33,000 on Facebook last month.
Nice. Chris, are all the numbers you're reporting are month over month?
Yeah, these are month for month. So we're actually like for the last 3 months, like that first month, we let you guys know that, you know, first month, it went from little action to big action. But we're still, even from the bigger months, are still growing at a rate of about, I mean, we still grew 100% last month. And then Instagram followers, actually, we had 463 page likes on Facebook, and we had 237 followers on Instagram. And then on our reels, we actually had two reels break over 5,000 reach. That's a lot of our reach reels. So we have these new things we're doing called like daily affirmations. And we put them out there as reels. And they're kind of just little blinky images that the kids like and share. And they have little quotes. If it makes you happy, it doesn't have to make sense to anyone else. And then the other ones, I don't know, there's a few of self-care. We had one about self-care that did pretty okay. That was one of our top four.
Who's coming up with those, Chris?
We have a good social, it's Sheila, who's one of our social, she's one of our main social media, she's the manager of the social media. Her, Lauren and Sheila, and Shayna, I'm sorry, they all work together on this between the content calendar and, you know, we share a lot of the posts, the content that we create. And, you know, the pictures, the videos, and plus we run ads. So we do also put some paid budget behind a couple of these. We're testing, you know, like if one goes really good and we see that it did good organically, we'll put a small budget behind it because we know it's picking up traction. And then that's how we hit some of those real big, like 10, 11,000 reach per post. So, yeah, it's been doing pretty good. What we've been spending is about $150 a month on the like campaign, which is getting people to, that's how we got all those likes, 463 Facebook likes and 270, that's growing the audience. And that costs us about $150 a month right now, which actually realistically, those numbers are really good because in marketing, they teach you that, you know, to reach a client, to reach a customer is an X amount of dollar value. And we're picking up these likes and follows for like, pretty much cents, which is really, really good. I mean, the value's dollar values. I think it's like $3 to $7 for follower for like the value of it, and we're picking them up for like quarter.
So the run rate, as you say, is $150 per month. That's nothing. Right? Exactly. We got a lot of money in the bank.
But the thing is, that's the next thing too. I believe that we really need to get, because that's the thing I'm talking to LD too, is that about, you know, we're going to need to, another thing is every one of these campaigns, when we do them, there is X amount of work that comes with the campaign, whether it be the landing page, which is web development, all the graphic ads that come with it, the ad budget behind it, the copy that is written. So we do have, you know, there's a lot of things we have moving right now, and we're still kind of a part-time team coming from our prosperity team. So we are going to really
How and where are that spend captured, Chris? Not the amount that you're spending on advertising, but the support of that.
That's where we're at right now, and that's where I'm really wanting us, as far as internally. I know it's hard on the board with all you guys, but for us internally in the operating room of us getting down and really starting to nail down, how much are we able to, you know, because at the end of the day, too, for both ends, we have amount with what we have of how much we can get done, and it can't always be on the fly. We're trying to get it to a turnkey minimum, how many social posts, how many emails, how many ads, what budget on each ad. So we're really needing to, that's where we're at right now, having to nail that down and make that fit our budget with the pieces we're trying to bring on as far as extra staff or people to, you know, come in. And like we're saying, extending, you know, maybe a card to Shayna. I know we've been talking about maybe doing some monthly fundraisers, whether it be like car washes, chili cook-off, or some other little things that we can start to add to the community to start throwing. So that's also going to need to be budgeted in. So we have a few things we need to budget in and try to get some of our minimums, especially also our big annual events like the virtual gala and stuff. So we do need to kind of just finalize that, so we know that we have, that we're fitting it within the year. So for us to
do you have a number, you know, what that cost is?
This is all happening so fast. And this is also for me new. Me without a treasurer, I mean, that was me first time hearing the number recently, for sure, from the golf. So, I mean,
I don't know, maybe, I guess I'll ask this question-wise. Do you think you're at the point that you can sit back and create what you think an ideal marketing budget is? Because I think that, you know, when this charity started, our product for our message was the teen showcases, right? Mm-hmm. Now our biggest product is what you're doing, because it's out there and it's reaching people and it's making a difference. So when you think about, hey, this charity is trying to raise money, and what does it do with that money? To me, I think one of the things we're trying to do with that money is to increase our electronic footprint in the various different social medias, so that people can see it and realize that there's places to go and ways to get help and all of that. So I think, in my opinion, that maybe we're ready for some number crunching of saying, hey, you know, here's what it really takes. And I think one of the things you need to do in that is extrapolate that you're spending 10 hours a month doing marketing. And I think you named a woman named Sheila's doing, I mean, what it's not just the cost of paying Facebook or paying Instagram or paying LinkedIn or paying whatever those social media things are, but it's human costs too, because if it's taking you 5 to 10 hours a month, okay, fine. Elliot probably can make that work. But if what you guys really think to do a real campaign is it's half of a body, that needs to be part of our understanding. And to me, that feeds into one of the things that I keep having in my back of my mind is we want to raise money, but what are we going to spend money on for what value and what benefit?
You're nailing it, and that is exactly where we're at right now. That's exactly what I think when Elliot can get back and well, and hopefully we get back, you know, we get a little time. I think between me, him, and Shayna, and whoever would like to join as far as, I mean, whoever that needs to be a part of that, I do believe that that's where we're at now. We have a number. We still have half a year. Trying to put that into place and to start to the rest of this year leading into next year. And, you know, with what we spend this year, what are we hoping to get to, you know, start next year? And just really worked on that 2-3 year goal and getting it to where, yes, because I think at the end of the day, for us to run these campaigns, and we had even, I think, I believe the golf, one of the professional golfers had brought that up when he came with his hole, is knowing the campaigns, different people will want to maybe donate for different things. So it really is good for us to have all of our campaigns, whether some people, maybe they just really like our staff and they want to make sure we cover our staff, or some people really want to make sure that parent program gets out because it means something to them and they want to see us hit that number to get that parent program out, or whether it be, you know, whatever, all of those types of deals where people could not only see what the number is we need to hit, whether it even be maybe a facility eventually, you know, in our 3-year plan, or I mean, whatever it may be, we come up with those goals and those numbers, and we do almost need that too, just for us, for the website, for transparency, and to run these campaigns.
Yeah, John, so you Chris, got a couple comments.
So, if I can raise my hand real quick here, so we're tracking. So on the on your ad spend right now, what's our conversion rate? I mean, when I talk about conversion rate, I'm talking to, are we converting these people into dollars, or are we converting them just?
Well, that's the, I mean, right now, literally we barely just even started turning on the ads.
Okay.
We've had nothing. So there's no goal. We really don't have a goal or a set. What, I mean, literally, like, you know, you saw, I mean, it was just barely a couple of weeks ago, last meeting, got the donation page barely up and working. They barely optimized the site. We haven't put no money. Well, I mean, that's where we're at. We're saying we're at the point now. We need to put the goals and the numbers, and we got to get to that now.
Once we have the ROAS and the CTR and the average CPC of this, then we can actually have the call to action coming out of it. But it sounds like to me that the ad spend's low, the impression rates are low, and at whatever our click rate is. But once you achieve the ROAS and the CTR on the conversion rate, then we can find out what the average CPC is going to cost us per guest, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So I want to go, John, you got a couple of questions you want to add? You haven't said anything yet.
I have some comments I'd like to add. So I need an answer from you, Elliot, on this. Where do we stand in terms of retaining or hiring a executive director?
Okay. That question is, the answer is I've not pursued that at all. Michael is still on temporary leave. I haven't let him go. I was hoping he would quit on his own, but he didn't. So the answer is I have not pursued that.
Okay, I'm not pointing fingers. My point is, what we're doing right now sounds more like a financial analysis rather than whoever is the executive director should be leading and spearheading all these processes together, so that there's coordination between a variety of different fundraising and then where does it go and on. Dominic has some really good points. If there's going to be an executive director, that person should be leading this and making presentations to the board, and or talking and working closely with a subcommittee of the board. That's how that should happen. So if we continue on the process like I see it right now, we're inherently going to be fragmented. So that's first comment.
Yeah, that's fair.
We need to solve that problem. And in lieu of not having an executive director, that would be you then, Elliot, in terms of pulling this whole thing together and or designating somebody.
No, I agree. I have no problems with that, John.
Okay, the second point would be this. What I continue to hear is great success in terms of fundraising. We're going to hear some more fundraising information later on, potential for the future, on and on and on. Very candidly, I want to hear about success stories in terms of how we've actually prevented suicides. I'm more interested in how we see, what is our measurement of what we've actually accomplished with the money, and when that ties into what's the smartest place to spend that money moving forward to actually, rather than feel good about ourselves, actually make a difference out there. Those are my two comments, and I'd like us to hopefully
work through that. John, I'll address that in just a moment. Craig, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I want to piggyback on that, and that is, you know, is there a metric that we can come up with to measure success? And it's not just reaching people, it's reaching lives. I mean,
right.
And you had the one-on-one connection with the Battle of the Bands and things like that. You know, you could sort of hear what people talk about, you know, at least raising a consciousness. This is much more removed. And so I know maybe Chris, you know, or one of the others of you would, how do you measure human contact? I mean, we're really
making. So the next one would be, you're right. For Craig, for that one would be we do now. We did make a part. I'm not sure if you guys have seen right now. A lot of celebrities are endorsing this company that we just got the partnership with, which is BetterHelp. A lot of professional athletes. And if you look right now, I've started to see actually commercials even on TV about BetterHelp. And it's really strong celebrity endorsed right now. So we do have a partnership with them, and they are actually extending us, I believe it is 30 hours of counselor therapy with a certified therapist. And they're giving us, I believe, is it 30 hours a month?
Yeah. So let me
or how does that work?
Set on what Craig and John said, because you guys make good points. Thanks, Chris, on that. So there are three programs that are coming up that, and by the way, there are now thousands, and Chris can tell you that, and we've done thousands of parents who have downloaded our resources from the website. So it's very hard to measure how many of lives we changed, because how would we know that? But we can measure that today, literally monthly, thousands of families are downloading our resources. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, it was zero, except for at the live events. So that's amazing. But there are three major programs. Chris, if I can interrupt you, if that's okay. Sorry about that. There are three programs that we're working on right now. We just added a texting program. If you didn't know it, you didn't see that email. Anybody now, every day, teenager, adult can text 24/7, the word brighter to 741741. We've contracted out with them. They will get a counselor within 5 minutes to talk to for up to 40 minutes a day on, for any subject. And so that's the first thing we're doing that's hands-on.
But are they measuring it?
And they are measuring that, how many will get to us. It's free. It's just part of our program. It's not free. We paid $6,500 for this per year. But we get our name brighter, and they're tracking that for us. It's brand new. It just hit the website. You can see it on the website. So literally, I'm not even sure anybody's gone to it yet. Second one is what Chris was just mentioning with BetterHelp. We signed a contract with them. BetterHelp is an online, it's a Zoom program basically for the licensed therapist. If there's a teen involved, it needs parental consent. First, the texting, that does not. There's paperwork to fill out, obviously, because it is a licensed therapist. California has laws that there is some HIPAA stuff that has to be completed. And that's there. And they gave us, what Chris was talking about, they gave us 33 sessions for the next 6 months to hand out to people as we see fit, because typically these are counselors that make money doing this. So we now have 30 of them free. And if they said you need 40 or 50, he said, let us know. We'll get you more. This is so important what you're doing. And the third thing you're doing, and if you haven't seen that, is Shane is starting in September. We're going to have that little the model of a little bit of AA coming in here. So we will model ourselves that we will have a licensed therapist on a Wednesday or Thursday night. We'll start it once a month and go to once a week, hopefully, for time zone. Where parents, just for parents, they'll be able to get online. They can be anonymous. They can hide their name. They don't have to talk about their kids' names. And that's why we did it via Zoom. And they'll be able to get online and ask the therapist anything they want. I think it's going to be the same five questions in every meeting. You know, my kid is this, my kid is that. I don't know what to do about it. And so that's coming online. And we're expecting to do that in mid-January to kick that off. And that'll be every month. I think it's going to be a weekly program at some point for parents, not teens. The teen program is different because that's a TikTok and Instagram program where they can download the Teen Survival Toolkit and see some things that help them. Everything else, what Chris was talking about, was building up the mailing list, which is an adult program because it's very hard to build up a teen mailing list just for security's sake. And those people are getting our constant list. Everything you're getting from the charity, they're getting as well now. So does that answer that question, John and Craig, a little bit about what we're doing?
It's very helpful. From instant analysis, you're basically finding ways through this charity to touch and communicate with parents. And it's limited in terms of actually from the team. I had this conversation. I'll share this with the board. I had a conversation with Elliot recently. I saw a compelling speaker at a trade show that I was at. The guy's name is Matt Vogel, V-O-G-L, if anyone wants to look at it. And he tells his own personal story as well as a variety of other examples. And with all due respect, when he went through his almost suicide, he couldn't get any response. There were not any time available in his mind to fill out HIPAA reports and or to do other bureaucratic niceties to call back and have people get in touch with him a day, a week, a month later. So I hear what you're saying. I think those are good steps, Elliot. I would like to have a better understanding of how we can have some kind of immediate help for a teenager in crisis. That's a long-term mission, goal, whatever. I keep rolling back to we need some coordination of all the things that we're doing so that then once we understand exactly how we want to outreach, then we can have the various parts of our organization come together and not just be great at fundraising, but also application. So
agreed.
I'm off my soapbox.
No, that's good. And that's the purpose of the texting to start with.
Yeah.
So we can get in the hands of every teen out there. I know for someone who's gone through that directly with a teenager who committed suicide, that phone, that texting was his lifeline. And there was nothing for him to go to get help. Now, I'm not sure he would have gone for it anyway, but if that was available to him, the word brighter to text to 741-741. And when he was awake at midnight, which he was from 12 to 3 at the end, maybe he would have reached out for help. And so that is a number we'll be able to quantify, John, of how many people go get help. And then if we decide that this parent program is a good program, can we do a teen program? I really believe that Shayna, who's a project program person, if you haven't met her, once we get this program up with the adults, needs to bring this to all the parent organizations at every single school here, literally everywhere, that this is going to be going on per time zone in this on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and then Wednesday night is going to be, you know, in a mountain time zone and so forth, that is a way that we can also take that for teens, that they can tap into it and say, I need help as well. Also very meant to be anonymous for teens, because we don't want to get anybody bullied or anybody in trouble. I also think Tammy's saying that. I also think we'll hear more from parents than we will from teens, because teens, my son, and I don't want to say he speaks for everybody, but my son would never have gone to a live meeting to ask a question ever.
And we just know somebody else that just committed suicide and did it at home with his parents in the living room and would never have reached out. He was at the point where he said, this is it. So I think you've got to really reach out to the parents on something like that.
And then, Lori, your question about chat rooms from teens, not yet.
Okay.
David, do you have your hand up, your finger up, or just kind of pointing at me saying you're such a...
I am agreeing with you.
Can you hear me? Guys, I'm home. Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me now?
Everybody, we hear everybody.
All right, thank you. I wasn't able. Sorry, guys. I was in traffic. I apologize.
I would like to, you know what we're doing with programming. There's a lot happening. Mark, can I ask your opinion? Just, you know, how much I love your opinion here and accountants love opinions here. What do you think of the marketing programs that we're doing?
I think they're great. I think they're a step in the right direction. I think we're, you know, like what a lot of people have said is we have to get a little bit more specific and towards, you know, what the real goal here is, which is to, you know, help prevent suicide and treat depression, all that stuff. But that's a really big goal. It's a really difficult thing to measure. It's so I think we're doing well. I just think that we have to define it well so we know what the costs are going to be and who needs to do what and what resources we need to be able to take that forward. So I don't have a whole lot to add to what's been said. I think I'm just, you know, agreeing so far.
Yeah. Let me ask you an important question before we get to Domenico, because I want to keep this again to an hour, and he's got a presentation. What if we can never measure the amount of lives we save? We can only measure the amount of people we touch.
Is that? I don't think you're ever going to be able to measure the lives.
That's impossible. Yeah,
it's impossible. That's an impossible objective. So yeah,
Are you going to be okay with that? Because if you say how many people's lives are we actually saving? Because that is one of our goals, is to stop teen suicide.
But if it's one, that is a worthwhile goal.
Well, we've stopped more than one because I've talked to parents and I know that from personal experience, we've stopped 10, but it's a lot harder to measure and a lot harder for me to say.
I don't think we can set, when we get to goal setting, I do not think you can set a goal of saying you want to save 10 lives. I think your goal has to be that you've reached and touched and provided opportunities and resources and education and knowledge. And I think it's really got to be more focused on, I'll use the word exposure,
right,
and availability of data than, and I know, I mean, I'm a numbers person. We love numbers stuff, but not every good goal can be quantified, even though we've all taken those wonderful classes on SMART goals, right? You know, I can't remember which one of those letters stands for quantifiable, but in this case, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I'm not expecting a goal of the number of lives saved, and I'm not expecting anyone on this call to be able to tell me how many lives they saved.
I think there are other metrics we could employ in this to measure our success, not just in that, but there are greater things, the macro that we look at before the micro.
Well, there are.
Can I butt in real quick? It's nice to know if we've helped anyone in that situation to be able to. I hate the word talented, but to say, yeah, we know of so many people.
Oh, we do.
Two, three.
But it's harder to measure rich. And
but you can't. I don't think you can have a goal like if you make so many calls, you're going to make so many sales. That's not going to ever happen. But
once we figure out how to deploy the dollars and the deployment of the dollars and where the dollars are actually going and how it's going, we'll eventually start acquiring testimonials. Okay. People that are comforting and also comfortable in their own testimonials to us. We can then create a matrix that, you know, we've got one testimonial out of, you know, 10,000. We can create that matrix. And as we go, we'll create more testimonials as the business and the starts to increase. We will find out not down to like finite numbers, but we'll have some type of metrics of percentage that is going to help us. Getting those testimonials, obviously a minor under 18 years old, we don't want that testimonial because of the backlog that we may feel and see when they're in high school or college. But as they get adults, adulting in a longer in their lifetime, they will come back and give us a testimonial. So this is a long-term play. So I think John and everybody else, to see that graph, we'll eventually see that graph.
But you can't use tracking devices. You know, if you had a phone number, because I think we need to use all methods of reaching out. Okay. Specified, phone numbers, you know how many calls come in on it, and you know who it goes to at the other end that they can track. I mean, those hits are in a sense traceable. To come up with some type of metric for knowing at least, if we got one call a month or we're getting 25 contacts.
We'll get those.
We'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, if you find out that, I want to know if you're satisfied. If you find out that 5,000 families downloaded their resources, 10 people went to the texting line, but we have no idea how many lives we saved, would you be not satisfied with that? Or would that answer...
I'd be hugely satisfied with that. I'm just making sure. I want to make sure that we at least have this conversation as a board, so that we talk about. With all due respect, it's one thing to have website hits. It's another that it actually then becomes directed to, like you just said, to the interchange with a trained professional through the abilities of A Brighter Day, things like that. I think that's really important. I want to endorse what Dominic said a minute ago regarding testimonials. First of all, I'm hopeful that what we're doing in terms of a charity is something that's going to be around for decades, that's going to outlast all of us. And I would be hopeful also that we have some way to capture testimonials from people who then have the ability to say, yes, A Brighter Day was a huge part of me not taking my life, of me coping with things, whatever. I think that one at a time, as we build those testimonials, I believe you referenced earlier, Elliot, the 10 people that you think are part of the solution process right now, so to speak. I'd like to find ways to capture that so that however we could, it could be communicated. I know that Julia has something to add to this conversation right now. I just want to make sure that I'm not asking for the impossible in terms of we have to know these numbers. What I am saying is I think that if we work at it, we might have two or three different kind of metrics, and that ties in with some testimonials. I think we're all going to feel better that way.
Yeah, I'm in total alignment. I really like what Domenico said, and I'm looking at the BetterHelp partnership. I feel like that's a really great opportunity. We cannot get names. We can't get information about these people, but BetterHelp can share, you know, they can find out when they're, you know, how did you, you know, reach out to us? They can get information based on the client reaching out to them. They won't provide names or anything like that, but I think that that would be helpful if you know, Brighter Day is linked to that phone call.
And we are.
But that we have to get that information from them so we know that. And I think the last piece is the families, the outreach to the parents, that can really be measured. That to me is where a lot of the testimonials can come from, right, about the resources that they received and the comfort and the guidance that they received.
I agree.
And Julia, we'll ask Lori to bring it up. If they go from our website to BetterHelp, that's a click from BetterHelp measures that.
Great.
Can I make one comment? When I was in fundraising, we did testimonials are very key. It's part of the inspirational piece, but you can have different kinds of testimonials like you were talking about. Not just the people whose lives were saved, the teens as young adults, but also families. You can also have statements from the counselors saying, this is really the tools provided have been extremely useful and helped us to achieve these kind of results. So they can give you some metrics that way. The one thing that kind of hits me is I think we have to, the goals seem a little broad in terms of what is trying to be achieved, and that makes it difficult to measure. So I'm wondering if there's a way to kind of solidify what the goals are that you're trying to get metrics to measure, what you're trying to look at. I mean, one of the things I brought up to Elliot, a close friend of ours, actually, she's been very involved on the counseling side of things in the local school districts, and mentioned someone that I'm going to see about reaching out to Shana, I guess, or Elliot and Tammy. Where this guy, James Wogan, he, you know, finding key people that can also be another resource that can get information into existing programs to get to students in schools. But again, is that what we're looking at, or are we trying, you know, I just want to make sure goal-wise we're clear as to, is it about providing information? Is it about providing counseling service? Or is, you know, it's kind of broad.
I think it's all of it.
You know? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, the mission statement's really clear, though. Our goal is to provide resources for teens and their parents with the goal of stopping teen suicide.
Right. And that's a mission statement. I'm just saying the ways that you're talking about how to do that, I just want to, you know, because that'll tie your measurement.
Yep. Good idea. Rich?
Yeah.
You know what? This is the first time in 5 months that I've actually heard that we did help someone. So I appreciate Jonathan for bringing that up, because I didn't know that. I know that we were doing this, but it was actually nice to hear it. And I am really excited to listen to Domenico's presentation as well.
Yeah. So is it okay if we go to Domenico at this point?
Yes.
Everybody understand the marketing program without spending a lot of time, more time on that. And I'll keep everybody posted on what we're doing and Sheila's success along the way. And then what's going on, particularly with this September event and the kickoff. And then we'll wrap that up after Domenico with conversation about the gala. Domenico?
Yep. Looking forward to it. You guys. I'll share this real quick with you and get this going here. But cheers. So, I'm hearing everybody, you know, I hear the concerns, the love of a 501c. There are three, you know, definites in a 501c. There's always fundraising, which is the kind of the not to be obtuse, but it's the lifeblood of a 501c. Without money in the bank, nothing happens. And it's the boots on the ground. It's the hard work that everybody puts into, you know, auctions and golf tournaments. There's so much legwork that needs to be put in there. So we can gauge our success on either fundraising, we can gauge it on helping people, we can gauge it on, you know, testimonials. All of this is incorporated into us raising money. And the more we do raise, the more fingers and hands we can put out into the environment today. So this is, I've already kind of went through this already with Elliot Mark, and I just kind of wanted to put this in a slide presentation format so you can all can see it. So what is success in my eyes? Now I do know success in everybody else's eyes may be, you know, helping people, which is in my eyes also too, but I need to focus. And the focus is fundraising, and it's the dollar amount and the dollar path to success and how we can never give up. We just kind of keep pushing it as hard as we can go. So, you know, where is a brighter day in fundraising? I believe we're in a crawl phase right now. There's a walk, run, and fly phase. We want to be on that fly phase. We're not there yet. We're not flying yet. We're not even running yet. We're almost walking, I think. But the patience of the crawling is important. So right now, there's so many tasks that have been developed and done, which has been phenomenal with Chris and Shane and Elliot. And is so many things have been website, donations, creating teen survival kit, you know, a company creating new logo, packaging. There's so many completions that I couldn't even add to this because it would just keep going. So the tasks that have been completed for a brighter day, you know, foundation itself have been monumental for a foundation that started off with, you know, with Elliot and his family, you know, putting this together. So, you know, I applaud what has been going on for a very small foundation that we all want to grow into a larger foundation. Next steps in a brighter day, ABD fundraising, is a crawl phase still. You know, we need to create a fundraising deck for all classes, including our guests. Mm-hmm. You're going to see me and hear me use guests quite a bit, because everybody that does come to our website or uses our tools in our toolbox, they're our guests. We want to treat them like somebody coming to our house. We want to treat them, you know, better than we've ever been treated before. So I'll use the guest always when people are coming and using our tools that we've created for them. Identify influencers, identify POS partners, create boots on the ground team. This is a super, you know, big deal for us. Boots on the ground, which every one of you, especially Elliot and team, have been doing, is the hours and hundreds of hours of work they've been putting together just for a golf tournament or a gala. It's a lot of time being put in there, and it's donation of their time. They're not getting paid for this. Most of the people aren't getting paid for any of this. Identify local and regional and national platforms. You know, identifying these platforms in a way that we can utilize it. And of course, the government grants, which are out there today, and they're being given away freely. We just need to have the grant writer do that for us. When we look at the omni-channel POS, and this is kind of our kind of a crawl phase. I'm sorry, let me back up here real quick. This is kind of our still kind of a walk phase as we move forward. That target we're trying to hit, you know, what is that target? In a lot of the board members, which you are here, the target is to helping people, which I think that's everyone and everybody on this phone call today. We don't even have to talk about that because we know we want to help people. That's bottom line. Okay. But how to deploy that, the dollars that we're going to bring in and how to help people, that's a whole different level. Right now, we're talking about dollars, bringing dollars into our bank. And that's a kind of a hard thing to kind of talk about a lot of times, because people say, well, are we really helping people? Are we driven to the almighty dollar? Well, my job is to drive the almighty dollar and bring it in here so we can help more people. So when you look at that and how we're deploying dollars, we're always deploying to create more revenue to help more people on a broader sense. So cultivating the omni-channel of POS partners is a huge deal for us. Retail, e-commerce, services, and professional. When I talk about services and professional, you're looking at professional jobs out there that we can still use some of their partnerships or POS or that dollar click. retail arm or e-commerce. I'm sure you're very familiar. Sometimes you may go to a restaurant or a fast food establishment and they say, hey, do you want to donate a dollar to breast cancer? Do you want to donate a dollar to helping child abuse? Same thing. So when I talk about cultivating omni-channel POS partners, that is what I'm talking about. So when you hear this, and that goes to every part of retail services, professional, e-commerce, and so forth. It kind of broadens the aspect of how we can raise money in an environment where it's not going to really affect or hurt that guest that is going to any establishment. Is it a guilt? A little bit. Is it something that's Safeway when they say you want to donate a dollar? Probably about 70% say no. But that 30% or 27% will say yes.
Right.
Childhood hunger, a brighter day. They'll say yes because it makes them feel good. So as part of the omni-channel POS, we want to make that guest feel good when they donate to a brighter day. It's just not a, it's going to be a pressure point. You know, oh, I kind of feel pressured to put that dollar button in there, but it also is a feel good too. They've done something. They donated and gave back to humanity. I like to call it a pillars of fundraising. I always kind of build it. I'm building three pillars for a brighter day. The goal here is to raise $20 million in 1 to 5 years. How do we do this? How do we silo this and build pillars to build this itself? And I'm looking at it, and I've been kind of studying this. I was on holiday for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I just got back, and I was really kind of contemplating this, thinking, John and the group, you know, mentioned a lot of great things. So how do we gauge what we're doing? Well, we gauge it by the dollars coming in, because the more dollars coming in, that means the more eyes are looking at us. The more eyes are looking at us, the more we can help the guest coming into our site and coming into our organization. And that's what we want to do. Influencing corporate and corporate media, I think we could do about 12 million there, which is going to be about 60%. 4 million of retail omnichannel POS and 4 million boots in the ground. And I'll get to these pillars in a second with the next one right here. So when you look at a broader day, influencing corporate media, you know, kind of looking at it the way we do. So we'll be about 60% of fundraising revenue with millions of eyes and listeners on social media, radio, TV platforms. This will bolster the brighter day mission to the masses. Our persistence will pay off as soon as we kind of keep pushing this forward, building that deck. You know, following the footsteps of other successful nonprofits, we talked about T2T. We talked about other fundraising that uses this exact same, influencer and corporate media platform to actually drive the message. So when we drive that message to really tug on a heartstring, and how many people that we all know, people here that have either had suicidal tendencies or committed suicide or have mental conditions that really need to be looked at. All of these companies on board, by the way, in which I've got relationships with all of them, my background's retail. We look at them as partners. Everybody we work with is partners. And our last conversation we had about you influencers on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, look, these are pay-to-play people. You give them a cut, you give them a rebate of what they raise. And that's how it's been done. That's how I do it. So I do it right now. I sit on another board in Michigan, and they spend about $400,000 a month just on influencers. But the $400,000, it has a ROAS of 3 times that. So when we look at that and we kind of, cultivate that, we're looking at all of these corporate media buying powers here that we can kind of utilize for the influencer, corporate, and media buyback, which is the biggest one. This pillar right here is the omnichannel POS, which we just kind of touched a little bit. Of going into your store, an affordable runway to crawl, walk, and run in traditional routes with hundreds and thousands of locations. We don't have to do them all. We can test them on certain POS systems and see how they work. We can attract and approach everyday guests supplying the legwork for us. So when I mean our guests supplying the legwork, I mean we're not the boots on the ground. The guests going into some of these retailers are the boots on the ground for us, because now we're making them aware of our foundation and they hear it, would you like to donate to a brighter day? And then we have that tagline behind it. And then there are boots on the ground. It makes them think about, wow, I got a friend who is going through this. Oh, I'm going through this. So there are boots on the ground, yes, which lowers our cost and our volunteer work. Because right now, the thousands of hours, you know, that some of the people here put on here for volunteer work is crazy. And it just gives you, I'm Italian, I'll call it, it's called agito, which is you know, heartburn. A lot of time. Okay, that heartburn, that agito, it kind of affects everybody. So this methodology will maintain cash flow while not putting the stress on single events. And the stress right now on single events, and we just heard we made a very good fundraising income from the golf tournament. But what did that take to get there? And who put all the man hours into that? That's a lot of work. So guest awareness of the omnichannel retail strategy will also reinforce the Brighter Day brand awareness. What is our brand? You look at a Brighter Day, and we need to create the brand awareness first. We need to create the buzz that goes on here, and it takes money to do that. And the pillar for omnichannel POS will help create that brand awareness. So yes, it will work as we move forward. And then the third one is our boots on the ground, which every nonprofit needs. And we just talked about that, how many hours it does take. So every location we are, we live, we work, we fundraise. Everything we do, everything that we touch can be a fundraising arm for us. So creating a partnership in local city and state events where our guests, parents, and kids are, and where they are, and we are there. So we're there all the time, baseball, soccer, water polo, swimming, fairs, shopping. Everywhere they are, we need to be there. And when I mean that, not the same time, but when we are a local company, I mean, anybody down the 680 corridor, how many art wine festivals are there? Danville, San Ramon, Walnut Creek, Livermore. There are festivals going on the summertime, even the wintertime, almost every other weekend. We should be there with our tent, with our Brighter Day tent. You know, bringing people on board, you know, creating that foundation work that needs to be there, supporting our local shops, supporting our local down in Danville or San Ramon or Walnut Creek, going to these local shops, letting them know what we're doing, you know, putting some, you know, brochures out. This is where teens and people go to shop. We need to be present. So looking at the omni-channel back to that other pillar right there, using all of that to get to where we are. I'm very involved in soccer, as we talked about already. And, you know, the soccer community, the baseball, football, hockey community are so giving. They really are. And the dollars I fundraise and brought in to Walnut Creek Soccer, being the president, were amazing at how quick we can do it, even outside of our perimeter itself. People want to give and do it in a way that they know the deployment of dollars are helping. Okay, on that. Stop me anywhere in this, by the way, if you have any questions. So here's my forecast. And this is a slight forecast. I'm talking to Elliot Mark. And for 2022, about $180,000. I'm not including what we've already raised. This is what we think we can do. 2023, $1.3 million. And 2024, $2.2 million. Now, that's far cry, Domenico, from the $20 million. Yeah, I like to be conservative, because without the tools that we have in our toolbox of a full deck, a presentation to every one of these pillars is going to be really well needed. And each one of these pillars is going to have a presentation that is geared to them. And when I talk about presentation, I'm talking about a fundraising deck that's going to tell them who we are, what we do, how we deploy dollars, and how we're helping. So it all comes back to how we're helping. But at the end of the day, my job would be to raise the money. And how we get there has got to be ethical. And how we get there has got to be, you know, promising for the guests that come into our organization itself. So when you look at the whole parameter of how to build it, this will come. I do believe these numbers are very soft, but giving you numbers that are, I mean, 2024, we've seen enough P&Ls in our lifetime, everybody here in business, that you clearly can't measure the 2024, but you can measure the first 1 or 2 years pretty consistently by what we're doing. I'll stop here. Any questions so far? Okay.
So Domenico, you would be in charge of your proposal is to be in charge of this macro fundraising program. Is that your proposal?
Yeah. So that would be me. Yeah. So what I do is take the boots on the ground, that the hundreds of man hours that are being volunteered right now, and kind of refocus that into using the first of all social media and influencers to really kind of bolster what we're doing. So my job for the Brighter Day 501c Foundation is to raise those dollars. Now, it's going to sound obtuse when I say this, and I don't mean it to sound obtuse. Every one of us has a silo we need to focus on. Fundraising is one of them. You kind of have to put the blinders on, you know, because there's a whole other world going on helping people. Everybody has to. And that is the biggest part of what the Brighter Day does. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the two major parts of need money, help people, that's who we are.
Right.
There's a lot of nuances in between there.
Yeah. You want to undo the screen. You want to undo the screen share and see if anybody has a question for you, and then we'll can pull it together here. Everybody have a question?
I have a question. So Domenico, thanks for that. That was very, very well done, I thought. Nice. We had talked once before about, and I'll put on my CPA hat again, about the costs involved. So what costs, can you talk to the group a little bit about what the costs might be? Because if we're talking about the numbers that you've got up, that you've presented, you know, is that, what costs are included that we're going to have to absorb or agree to meet in order to, you know, get to the yeah. fundraising levels that you're mentioning.
So guys, everybody on the screen, I should say, I sold my company back in 2017. My contract was over in 2021. Okay. I sit on two boards right now, and I'm also the director of Walnut Creek and all the 690 referees. So my time's limited, but valuable. At the same time, this is very, very important to me. I've had a family member, actually three family members, attempt suicide. And I had one family member that actually committed suicide. So this is super important to me. So I, you know, looking at long-term and helping people, and John, you mentioned it, you know, how do we measure that? You know, what is the measurement of helping somebody? Well, this is important. So what the cost is, I looked at it and said, hey, you know, I cost too much. I really cost too much for a Brighter Day to even pay me. But, you know, my expertise and wealth of information going in here, I think I can do something. So I'm not going to charge that exorbitant amount. So I just need a stipend, because I do get paid other areas and am semi-retired right now with the business I sold. But with that said, there is a slide I did put together for that. Now I'll share my screen again. And the slide is here, if I can pull it up. So the Commission Plus 75 to start PPY, it starts off with a tier value commission, $1 to $10 million, 18% to 2%, $10 million to 15, 15% plus 2%. Now get to that 2%, what we're talking about here, $15 million and above 10% plus 2%. So when you look at this right here, look, I get valued for the dollars of what that's going to look like. So that $75,000 a year is nothing, but it is saying, hey, look, you're going to be putting some stake into this, and I'll be putting some stake into this also too. Mm-hmm. If I raise $400,000 and you say, hey, Domenico, you know, it's just not cutting it, I get it. We're great. Okay. Although I believe that we can hit the $20 million and above as we, if we keep moving forward. So that's the kind of the cost model breaking into that right there. What it looks like here, the growth PPY cost plus was going to look like this. So where we're at zero to nothing at 75. And then as the raise gets higher, the commissions get lower, but also too, the PPY gets also higher. So the benefits get higher. Nobody likes to talk about, wow, you know, somebody's making all this money. Well, I'm also bringing in $20 million into the, and this is a year, by the way, every year bringing it in. And I think that's a low number. I think we can go even higher than that. So when you look at the PPY and the commission rate, which is negotiable, and I the commission rate at first was a lot higher that Elliott offered, and I thought it was exorbitant. I wanted to bring it down a lot down. The 2% and part of that commission is going to have to go back to the influencers. Okay. These guys are going to want to, if they have a influencer run rate, for example, of, oops, what happened here? Sorry, guys. So if they have an influencer runaway rate of their hitting, you know, 4 million impressions, and out of those 4 million impressions, we were able to raise $500,000, and it cost us $50,000 to get there or $100,000 to get there, we'd all do it in a heartbeat. Because the manpower and the boots on the ground is not there. The agito and the heartburn that we get is not there. So it's more or less, you know, electronic coming into our organization and how we utilize it from there. Did that help out, Mark, from our last breakfast meeting we had?
Yeah, that did.
I guess I'm an accountant. I like to balance a budget. So I think this is great. I think these are great ideas, but I keep having this lingering question in my mind is we raised $20 million. What is our program spend? What, how do we see using that money to reach our goal? And I just kind of feel like you can't just have an objective of raising money. You have to have a plan of why you need this money, and how do you reach it, and how much money do you really need? And I'm asking a very difficult question, because I certainly know those of us that have been on this board for a while have kind of never really thought about having $2 million to spend on programs, let alone 20 million, because we've been raising, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. Yep. And most of that's been spent on trying to even raise that money. And we've come a long ways this year in the programs we've provided. But I just, that question just keeps lingering in the back of my mind.
Sure. So that's a great question. Deployment of funds is always critical. And I think John actually mentioned it in his first comment, is how do we deploy the funds? So in raising the dollars and where they're going is going to be critical. How do we get to the masses? You know, when I hear these great stories that Elliott brought up and Chris bring up, you know, we saw 4,000, 10,000, 1,000 people. It's that big. We need to hit millions of people out there. We need to affect and help millions of people. What is that going to take to get there? So once we hit the deployment of dollars or media, radio, or any kind of influencer dollars, the more we make, the more we can touch. So we need to have a committee on how we deploy those dollars. Right now, the deployment of dollars go to maybe three programs, the golf, the gala, and maybe a couple of other things. You know, some paperwork and things like that. When you start to look at deployment of dollars and you start getting, you know, 5,000 people a day calling, that's going to cost money, because the 741-741 is going to be like, hey, man, it's going to cost you more now. So the more people we bring to our organization, the more it's going to cost. Deployment is going to be key.
Judy, that's a good question. A good question and a good issue there, Judy.
Yeah.
How do we spend money on that? And we're not going to solve that sitting here right now at the end.
No. And in fact, I've been sitting here and listening to this meeting, which has had a lot of great comments and great ideas. And I just really feel we need a business development planning, I don't know what you want to call it, 2-hour, 3-hour meeting session to really put to pen and paper, you know, what, where we want to go and how we get, want to get there. I think Dominic, if I pronounced that right.
Domenico
has presented and has the tools and the knowledge and the experience to help raise what we need. But I just, and I don't have a lot of experience with large scale fundraising, but all the fundraising I've ever had, it's always been much easier to raise money when you could explain what you're doing with that money. And just saying helping teen awareness of suicide is not a great answer, but to say having weekly parent anonymous training sessions, having these toolkits, having free counseling, having whatever it is, I'm making up shit, okay? Whatever it is that when you go to try to collect those dollars, the more specific you are, you could do it. Like when, and I'm going to pick on soccer for a minute here. When my kids played for Walnut Creek Soccer Club, or maybe it was the Diablo Soccer Club, and they said, here, send these letters and go ask people to raise money. And I'm like going, well, for what? I'm like going, I chose to have my kid play club soccer. I mean, I should be paid for it. Tell me what I'm raising the money for. I can't just go tell somebody, oh, here, my kid's playing soccer, so give me money.
Let me interrupt you real quick here. So the messaging on how we do that is in our deck and what it's for. And I think Elliot outlined the 741-741, the counseling every Tuesdays and Thursdays. All these things take money and deployment of dollars to do this. As larger we get, we can identify that and message it to our guest. Anybody who comes on our website, this is going to these different areas. As a 501c, when we identify monies being used, those monies have to be used. Have to be used for what we're raising it for.
Right.
So if we're going to be raising money for, you know, Tuesday meetings nationwide, worldwide, it has to be used for that. So our accounting team right here, and who's doing a great job. Yeah. We have to put that in our P&L. We got to put it in our accounting books of what we're using it for. So
last question, John, go ahead. And then I would like, if you're okay, I just want to kind of wrap it up. I would love everybody's comments offline of what Domenico said in the meeting. And I really would love that.
Okay. So overall, Domenico, thank you. I am in huge support of what you're bringing to the table, or at least in this case, the screen. And there's an old line. I'm going to use Judy's comments recently where she just said, hey, I'm making up shit. Okay. Let's think big. Maybe one of our goals is 5 years from now, we have a 32nd spot in the Super Bowl. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an acronym I use in business, BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goals. Okay.
That's great.
We got to have something that moves the needle. Mm-hmm. With all due respect, hey, I'm happy that we're making some stuff happen in the 680 corridor or whatever. Frankly, I'd love to be able to be part of an organization that moves the needle on a national basis. And also, I'm riffing from you on that, Elliot, from our conversations previously, which is you want to have this much bigger, a brighter day, much bigger than it is.
Yep.
Okay. How are we going to make that happen? There's another business truism I want to throw out right now. Use this multiple times. We will never reach our goals by saving money. Okay. We've got to find ways to raise that money. We've got to find reasons to raise that money, which is the whole deployment thing. I'd love to see a subcommittee out of this board that specifically is called the Deployment Committee, and on a monthly basis reports back to us and says, hey, we're thinking about doing this. We're thinking about a Super Bowl commercial. We're thinking about a 20-minute documentary that's going to be on a YouTube station. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't we even have our own YouTube station that ties into mental health awareness? I think we could tie into a variety of other organizations. In the semblance of time and saving some time, I think there's a lot here to build on. I totally get what Judy's saying about, hey, let's have a tangible goal. okay, let's have some tangible goals of what we're going to do with the money. But we also have to find ways at the same time to raise a tremendous amount of money. I commend you, Domenico. Outstanding thought process. And let's just keep pushing this thing forward.
So let me kind of wrap this up if I could, because it's been an hour and a half and I appreciate everybody being on. And we'll get back. Domenico, we'll talk tomorrow if that's okay with you. I would love everybody's feedback on that. Mark and I have been involved extensively with Domenico having conversations, and that's been great. And Mark, maybe Domenico and I could talk again this week, which is fine if that's okay with you. Since it's not tax season yet.
You have no idea.
Yeah, really. November 15th is around the corner.
I do want to tell you that I'd like to pick another, the next board meeting night. Thanks for everybody for being on. I know a few people couldn't make it. That's why I recorded it to send it to them. They asked me to do that. I want to remind you, we have the two events coming up. You should have gotten a save the date from me over the weekend. I've been out for a week with COVID. Tammy's been out with COVID, so I'm still home. I'm going to work tomorrow, but I've been texting like crazy because I've been bored to death.
No better.
I feel fine. It's just these tests are defective. They all come up positive. Anyway, and so September 24th, that's a Saturday from 2 to 5 in Lafayette. It's not going to be a perfect backyard because we're in construction hell right now. But September 24th is a Saturday from 2 to 5. You're all going to be invited. If you haven't gotten the invitation, you should have all gotten it. But in case you didn't, Raymond and JCB Wineries will be here pouring wine. And traditionally, we've raised $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 that day for the winery based on people buying wine. But it's a Napa comes to Lafayette. It's a wine experience. So you'll get that. And then we have the gala coming up. What? And then we have the gala coming up in November, which is a Thursday night. We set it up because it's all virtual this year. And so we're going to need all of us to do a few things there. We need silent auction items. We need a handful of live auction items, not many, but more important than anything else, we need eyes on the event. It's very simple. The more eyes we have, the more money we raise, the better the live auction items and more silent auction items, the more money we raise. But it really is a function of eyes. So that means, and Domenico was mentioning that, leveraging eyeballs. So, you know, Mark has 100 and John, you have 200 and Rich, you have 200 and Julia, you have 300. And it's getting these eyeballs on the event because they're going to find something they like and they're going to, and we'll make it emotional. We don't have a chair. Is there somebody in this room that wants to chair that event? Yeah, I thought so. So we're working on it at the moment. That'll fall, I guess, on Tammy and myself. Although we're working on Judy's daughter.
Thanks, Rich.
Conversation.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Rich,
great to volunteer, Rich. You're the man.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. Is the first time I met you?
Well, you know, that's about how Trey became treasurer, so I get that. And anyway, and so, but we're going to need a lot of
eyeballs. Show Rich volunteered.
Yeah. Last year, we had fewer eyeballs than the year before, and we raised less money. They were almost the same auction items, but we really need to get 500, 600, 700, 800 eyeballs to show up that night. Because the cost of running it is so low. It's just advertising, Facebook, and having an auctioneer. And then we'll talk about that. So if you can make note of that at the same time, any questions about anything, or you've been out an hour and a half, I really appreciate Todd.
I have a quick one. So maybe Chris could put together a video or something that we could all send out on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram to just our normal people on those lines. We may capture new eyes and new faces that way.
Yeah, you bet, Trey. That's great point.
Especially with some celebrity stuff.
Yeah, Chris was just telling me how much free time he has to do all this stuff.
I know, Chris.
That's why I nominated Chris. Why I nominated him.
Yeah, he was complaining that he's got so much capacity, he doesn't know what else to do with his
Trey,
time.
I'll second that because that's what I've heard from Elliot all week since he's been home, that Chris has so much
capacity.
He can't
just... Right? I mean, if he has capacity, he might as well use it.
Well, we have items that we're going to be auctioning off.
We're just putting it together now. Typically, we get a lot of wine here. Rich, we've gotten in the past a lot of wine. We probably still will again. Mark's donated wine. Judy's donated wine. Tammy and I have donated wine. Craig's got some contacts out there too.
Wine's a big seller.
Yeah, wine is really big.
What we do take out of the charity though, out of the, here's what I bought, purses.
Yeah, some purses very we pay cheap, for.
You know, like we get sale purses from, you know, name brand people and
yeah, and they we sell very and the well, first year so. We did some items that were how do I call it, on consignment, and then the second year we did not. So it would
I
be
thought that was opposite. Enough
trips to not have to use any of consignment. I think Lori, I don't know if you're still on, but Lori did a trip to Sunset Benito Pueblo.
Bonito.
Yeah.
Benito.
Bonito. Yeah. That I was just there. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I do dinner. Mark did a dinner at his house, a couple dinners. People love dinners, especially when they're homemade and you got some gourmet things going on. And they're really a lot of fun. And heck, I like giving I Mark, you just you just great, hosted yeah. one and
yes.
you know, it's just as much fun to host it as it is to go to it. I love hosting it. It's, you know, these are really fun things. And again, we raise, you know,
The board's
we raised about 100,000 without having golf. With golf last year, combined with golf, we raised 100,000. So we raised less this year. We need to get a hunt to 150 with golf, which is 100,000 alone by itself.
We have some great
items. And I know Domenica, that's crawling, but we'll catch up to your speed.
All right,
guys. I want to thank. It's 7:31. You guys have been great.
Wait, Ellie, do you want to schedule the next board meeting?
Yeah, when is good with everybody? I think we've got the event is November. Can we get together on the third week or so of September? Fourth week of September.
Yeah. Set the date, Elliot.
Set the date.
All right, hold on. I'll pull it up for you right now.
Domenico, that was a great presentation, by the way.
Yep. Thank you.
Domenico, if it's not too much trouble, would you mind emailing out to the board your deck?
Yeah, I would like to. That would be great. I'll send you guys a.
Thank you.
Yeah, does thank Wednesday you. Night, good September 28th, work for everybody or?
Which one? I'm sorry.
Wednesday night, September 28th or Wednesday night, September 21st. Does that work?
28th works.
21st.
Both work.
Anybody 28?
Have a, oh, they're good.
Anybody have a problem 20. With either one? Otherwise, we'll do the 21st.
28. I can't do the 21st. 28.
Either one. 28. 28, 24.
Yeah. 9:28, Mark, you're good?
I think so, yeah.
Greg?
Yep.
Are we going to try to do that in person?
I would like to do a hybrid event, which means somebody's house. Maybe hopefully my backyard is done so we can, if you want to do it here with pizza, we can.
We can probably do it here.
Judy's, some people can go to Judy's house. If you don't want to go there and you want to be safe and COVID free,
we can do it in the backyard.
You can
do it. I will house. Send a appointment, Judy, a calendar appointment nice. For the 28th of September, TBD where it's going to be held. Or
yeah, and then we'll, Tammy and I will be there for sure live. I obviously love the synergy of live. I know we got some CFOs here and I can't even believe I can say synergy and CFO in the same sentence, but it still is better live.
I'm a retired CFO, so fine.
Guys, you've been great, ladies. Thank you so much. Lori, let's you and I circle back. Julia, let's you and I circle back.
Yeah.
And, nice to meet you, Julie.
Yeah.
Nice to meet everyone.
Yeah, everybody.
Jonathan, it was a pleasure.
And then John, thanks for your input. Thanks to everybody.
Domenico, great job.
Thanks for being here.
Bye. Bye, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye
you, guys. Everybody.
Bye,
thanks so much, everybody.
Bye, David.
Yeah, Mark. See you later.
Great night. Thank you for sending out that stuff.
Bye-bye now. Thank you.
You guys, take care.